the road. This is Wenchia.
And this is Andrew.
And we're driving up the I-5 going north to Sacramento. Andrew doesn't like the noise in the car. The noise going north.
You're trying to do an accent, but you're not very good at it.
I know. Because I'm not a northerner.
What kind of accent are you trying to do?
A northerner's accent.
Northern what?
Northern state. Like, you know, like the Dutch or the proper northerners.
The Dutch?
Okay, don't worry about my accent. I won't do any more accents. I'll just try to focus on what we're talking about.
Okay, what are we talking about?
Except the only thing, the accent that I do like is the Hawaiian one. Pigeon. Speaking of accents. Yeah. But I don't do a good pigeon either. Abra?
No, it's awful.
But Andrew does a pretty good one.
Yeah.
He always, you know, gets it out when we're in Hawaii, and asking for directions. By longs. That's what people say. Okay. So, we are driving up to Sacramento to cheer Kanoa on and his MAC crew team, boys and girls, at the National U.S. Regatta Northwestern Championship. Am I saying this right?
Yeah.
Racing Championship. And then I was like, okay, we have a 6-hour drive. Is that what it was? Seven? Maybe a 7-hour drive. And we thought, okay, might as well do a little chatting on the way.
So what do you want to talk about?
Well, first, we're taking Andrew's Tesla to be environmentally friendly. And okay. Then also be comfortable because it has the autopilot. And we're, you know, trying to make use of that function. What do you think about that, hun?
Cool. So what do you want to talk about?
But that's what I want to talk about.
Oh, you want to talk about the drive?
The trip, yes.
Oh, okay.
And getting your opinion about it.
Oh, okay. I thought we were going to talk about, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Oh, what you know, who you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that too.
Okay.
Okay, well first can you just like summarize and then I'll lead on to, you know, what made you get the Tesla and why you like it?
Yeah, you told me to get it.
I told you to get it.
I was going
to
get a Honda Accord or a Prius.
I said, let's go test drive.
So.
Oh my gosh. I cannot believe you are getting the Tesla because I said you to get it. Well, this is what happened because I have a good memory of what happens. We went to test drive the Honda and then we went to test drive the Prius. I don't even remember where we went, but went to one of those dealerships and they were like, they're over there. Just go walk around. And then if you feel like driving one, we just get in line, blah, blah, blah. And they were so like non-considerate about the whole thing. Like, I always feel like when you want to go and buy a new car, like buy something, they should be like, hey, let me help you and full customer service. And I'll have to say that's why we also didn't buy an Audi, because that guy with, I'm not going to do an accent, but he was very snooty to us and basically acted like you guys can't be purchasing an Audi, so. Because we were in our shorts and slippers, which didn't help. But he literally like was like, oh, you can't test drive this. And we're like, why not? And he's like, well, I'm not allowed to put any more miles on this. And then we were like, okay, I guess we're not getting an Audi. All road. That's how I ended up with, well, I had a Highlander, but then the Acura. So now, so we went to the Tesla dealership and they were super nice. We had an appointment, but
sometimes being nice is what will close the sale. I mean, not sometimes, all the time, right?
Right. If all the time, that relates to the what you know, who you know.
How so?
Because you end up knowing people because you're nice to them, and like you get to about people and whether or not they're a customer or a, you know, I don't know, like somebody that you encounter, like asking questions on the street, then, you know, you have a connection and then there's like a level of like understanding and respect or consideration that when you don't get that, then you're like, ugh, I don't want to, you know, be part of this interaction. And don't you think that when we went to a Tesla shop, well, in my mind, I was like, let's just at least test drive it to see what all the hoo-ha-ha is about. And then when you test drove it, you're like, okay, I'm ready to get one. I actually remember the whole thing where we're like...
It's a nice car, yeah, that's for sure.
It's a nice car. Yeah. But when we were at the dealership after you test drove it, you said, you were like, okay, how do we get one? Like, you, that was like what you said, and I was like, wait, we're getting this? Like, I was shocked because I was thinking, because your personality is that you like to, like, do more research and shop around and, yeah, like, you know, do stuff. And I'm more like, go to the store. Ooh, this looks good. Let's just get it because we're here. So in my mind, I was, you know, like, taken up by surprise that you were like, okay, let's just get this.
Yeah. I had already done research before doing the test drive.
All right. So you pre-researched. But I thought you would like want to test drive it, you know, another model. I don't know. Just you tend to like want to try different things more than once and then before you like sign the dotted line. So just saying, I was surprised, and then you just ordered it and we got it. And the customer service was amazing there, right? That guy that was like, yeah, super, I don't remember his name, but he was really helpful. He was, yeah, very knowledgeable. And then we had the whole concern about our driveway being too steep. And then he's like, let me schedule a time where I'm going to drive a Model S to your house. And we'll test, you know, test it going up the ramp of your driveway. What is this orange stuff here? Anyways, so that was like, hey, he didn't have to do that. But he just, I felt like, went above and beyond. Don't you think?
Yeah, everyone that we interacted with, they were super professional, super courteous, super proactive.
Yeah.
It was a world of difference from your typical car dealership.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And at that time, they also offered the friend's referral for $1,000, which was nice. And then there was like the little rebate for the energy efficiency tax thing.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Overall, we're happy with the car.
Lovely
owning it, and you know, we got solar panels in the house, and it feels good to be not emitting more toxic gases into our world, even though I drive a regular car still, but eventually, I think, yeah, yes,
yep.
Okay, so leading to the conversation of who you know, what you know. Oh yeah, so we were at the charging station before, and then there was this old guy that, well, he looked old, he had white hair, but he had a white Tesla and he was charging next to us, and then he had like some specialty plates with like two triangles on it. Not sure what that is, but we'll have to look that up. And then we're like, huh, that's interesting. Wonder who he is. So, but we didn't know him. But I was thinking we should have stopped and asked him, but we were already driving away.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so what you know, who you know.
So the reason why we brought this up was because we were listening to another podcast called Make Me Smart, and this was a listener voicemail where someone said that when they were young, they had seen that phrase on a t-shirt.
No, his mom bought him a t-shirt.
Yeah. He had seen it on a t-shirt that his mom bought.
Yes.
And it really bothered him because he had grown up thinking that we live in a meritocracy where it's, you know, you advance based on your merit. And this, it's... this phrase, it's who you know, not what you know, flies in the face of that, totally contradicting the values that were instilled in him.
Right.
And he didn't like it. But as he had grown older, he had seen how often that is true. Not that it's right, but it is you know,
right.
True.
And so, correct.
You know, is it right? Is it wrong? Is it wrong to take advantage of it when you can? Or, like, what's, you know, what do you think about that?
Well, I think, personally, when I was younger, I also didn't like it because, you know, we were the only Asian family in Long Island. We didn't know anyone.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, whenever I asked my parents for help, they're like, oh, nobody can help us. Nobody can give you a ride. Nobody can do this because you didn't know anyone. And then you just have to figure it out on your own. You have to figure out how to, like, get on the subway on yourself. You just have to make things happen for yourself.
Which would have been okay if it were true for everyone.
Yes.
But it wasn't. It was only true for you and some other people.
And so it felt like you were the only person working your ass off.
So it felt unfair.
Yeah, it felt unfair because certain people, or like, you know, certain people got recommended for babysitting jobs or internships for things, and not necessarily because they were really, you know, good. Like, let's say, for example, an architectural internship. Like, they got to work, you know, in New York City for one because so-and-so's dad knows this guy. And he's like, oh, yeah, my daughter's looking for this. And then they're like, oh, yeah, he's a nice guy. Let me help his daughter out. But then you don't know anybody and you're like typing. Well, that time we were typing on typewriter still. That's how old we are. Well, anyways, so then you're like mailing all of these letters out to all these random places and trying for them to look at you on a piece of paper. And they don't know who you are. And then so, your paper just gets in the file and you call and they're like, what? Who are you?
So why do so many people practice that?
Practice the helping other people out?
Leveraging their sort of their network of acquaintances and friends to gain advantage. Like, why do people do that?
People do that because it's like beneficial to them.
And why do
it comes back to, like, you know, helping somebody you know out, then it comes back to you that you help them out and they'll somehow end up helping you out, or you might know someone. I mean, it's
so I
mean,
I scratch your back, you scratch mine.
Yes.
And as long as we stick together, then we can gain advantage.
I mean,
over
as long as you're not like scratching each other's back and not kicking anyone on the side. But the people who aren't getting their back scratched, they feel like they're getting kicked.
Okay.
Or they're digging a hole. Or, I don't know. I'm not good at these. The metaphor is that the people who aren't getting their back scratched, they're not part of the monkey circle of back scratching. So they're just trying to scratch their own back, and it's really difficult to do that.
Okay.
It's very hard. Have you ever tried that? It's very hard to scratch your own back.
So, in the name of fairness, then, would you what would you do to level the playing?
So I used to think it was really unfair until, you know, now that I'm older, and I think this is what that guy realized in the podcast.
Yeah.
As you're playing in the field more, you meet people, and this goes back to being nice to people and, like, considerate and helping people out. I've met people, you know, whether it was when we were at MIT or when I was doing my, you know, architectural work on the East Coast. And then also now, you know, on the West Coast, so I met people through the Master Gardener program and random things like that. And then, it's kind of funny is because then when we were in San Francisco last week, I met another mom who was from LA, who's a Master Gardener. Anyway, she was like, oh, Wenchia. And then she's like, hi. And then she, like, gave me a hug. And then she's like, what are you guys doing? Well, she's like, do you want to be in line over here with us? And then Kiki was like, how do you always know people wherever you go? How many people do you know? But I think, you know, it isn't necessarily like I know a lot of people. I think it's that, you know, life or fate has a way of connecting people that you've, like, interacted with in a good way. What do you think of that? Well, my whole believe in fate thing. And, you know, I wasn't trying to
would you have a problem with, let's say that that you were running some kind of like summer camp thing,
yeah,
and there's only, you know, one spot left,
uh-huh,
and it's either like, oh, here's like a friend of a friend's kid who's trying to get in, but on the other hand, there's another kid where they're not connected to you in any way, but otherwise, you know, were you to do like an interview or a trial run play date or something,
mm-hmm,
and you were to discover that, oh, this kid's like, you know,
really
plays well
good
with each other,
yes,
with others, and, you know, would be a positive contribution, but otherwise,
yes,
you don't know them. So it's like, here's this regular kid, but they know someone who knows someone,
yes,
or this unknown person, but on their
who
merits
might be good, not better on paper.
Yeah.
Well, I think I would have to see this actual situation.
Okay.
But I personally tend to be like, I like to do it the fair way, is just interview them both.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean, like, you know, sometimes, let's say for rentals, like renting apartments,
okay,
and stuff, if somebody refers me to somebody,
yeah,
and they're like, oh, so-and-so, I know this friend of a friend who is looking for a place, and then,
right,
they refer them, and I think I would, you know, show them, but then I still go through, I still go through the credit check process. I don't just be like, okay, they're a friend, so I'm not going to have them fill out the application and do the credit check.
So you're saying for you, what you're willing to extend and accommodate is to say, you know, I have control over some resource or something,
yes,
like carpool or jobs or whatever, and if it's someone, you know, who I know as a friend of a friend or something, then they don't necessarily automatically get it, but they will be sort of front of the line in terms of consideration.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
of the people that you do consider, whether or not you, independent of whether or not you know them,
mm-hmm,
you will hold them to the same bar.
Yes. I think I still have like a standard,
uh-huh,
of, you know, this is what I need you guys to fulfill.
Uh-huh.
And then like the paperwork standard. Yeah, I think I would be like that. I mean, I also would, you know, I think in a way, if like I'm more lenient, I'm like, oh, maybe like if I called their previous landlord and then called their employer and then like they didn't get back to me, but everything else was checked out, then I'm like, okay, it's not such a big deal to get the, you know, the last phone call of reference.
Okay.
I might be more lenient that way, but I don't think, I would just be like, oh, no credential check necessary. Like, I wouldn't do that.
Right.
What? How would you do it?
No, I think that's a reasonable way to go.
Yeah. I mean, you reviewed a bunch of resumes when you hire people, or you,
yeah,
looked at some college applications and stuff.
Sure.
I mean, when you do your college application, it says on there, there's like a part where it fills out, do you, you know, like, any affiliation or alumni affiliation or something like that on your,
yeah, from what I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I remember when I did my MIT application, I had to leave that part blank.
Totally blank.
Yeah. And
yeah,
then I felt like lame-o. Mm. But here's the other thing though. My science professor, when he was writing a letter of recommendation for me, he said, oh, you don't know anyone who went to MIT? And I was like, no, I don't. He's like, but I know someone. Let me give them a call. And then he gave them a call, and then she ended up doing, you know, contacting me because of him, and said she would do an interview for me, and then she gave me a really good interview for you. I mean, I think that was part of the reason why I got into MIT, besides my regular merits, but
right,
I think it helped.
It was,
know,
like a tiebreaker.
Maybe.
Who knows?
But, I mean, it just gave me, you know, a little, like, sparkle, I think.
Mm.
Like a little extra sprinkle.
Well, first of all, it was
somebody,
nice that your teacher,
yeah,
utilized his network.
Yes, and he didn't have any children, so I think part of him wanted to, like,
to help you out. Yes. And that's nice, right? Yeah. You're playing nice in this social game. Humans are social.
Yes.
So.
I mean, yeah. I think I would do that. You know, you kind of did that for other friends of their kids.
Remember when we were.
Okay, anyway, so. Overall, yes, it's good to know people. And it's not just knowing people, though. I think it's good to know people and have a good relationship from knowing people. Obviously, you don't want to know people and they know you as being, like, a meanie.
Sure. But there's the bad side to it, right? First of all, people who, you know, based on their merits, deserve a fair shot, are pushed out of opportunities.
Yes, or unfairly. Further away from opportunities.
And then it also... can kind of lower the bar a little bit, especially if you're talking about something like hiring, mm-hmm. right? You definitely don't want that to happen. It's like, oh yeah, well, the only reason why this person got the job was because they're like cousins, roommates with so-and-so. And that's the recipe for disaster. You don't want to turn into something like that. So yeah. there are limits to it. That's for sure. Right?
Yes. Yes. And also, I don't like it when people take tabs and feel like you owe them
right.
something. And then I think that's a bad relationship where, like,
right.
somebody does you a favor and then they're like, well, you know, now you owe me for, like... I mean, I'll say you owe me, but they act like you need to do something for them.
Right.
So I find that, like, when people keep tabs on that...
Do you think that there are other, so, you know, we live in the U.S. and there's a certain culture around that. There are other cultures where the exchange of favors and keeping mm-hmm. tabs is a lot more intense, but also that's just the norm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. This kind of relates to, we were talking about Asians, your mom and my parents liking to, like, get gifts for people.
Gift giving
when you go visit somebody's house or you go back to, you know, your homeland or where you come from. It's like you have to give a prestigious gift, or when they come and visit you, they feel like they have to give some prestigious gift.
Yeah.
And our, you know, the culture that we brought up is, yes, you can go to somebody's house and you bring a gift, but it doesn't have to be, like, over the top. But then it looks bad if then when you visit them and you bring no gift.
Right.
Or no, like nothing like super cool.
It's not.
And then,
in the U.S., it's more leaning towards it's the thought that counts. But
yes.
in other cultures, like no. Like
it's the value.
They keep
of
track
a ticket,
of
yeah.
how valuable it is, and then that way they can gauge how much to give you later.
Yes.
Right when it's their turn to attend your wedding or kid's first birthday or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, you know, exhausting for me.
Right.
I don't like to do that personally myself.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just want to follow the customs and not offend people.
Sometimes.
And then also get your parents annoyed at you.
Right. Yeah. Like if you're, especially if you're visiting someplace else, you know.
Yes.
When in Rome.
Yeah. When in Rome, even though you've never been to Rome.
No, I haven't.
We should do a trip to Rome. I actually have not been to Rome either.
I feel like I'm going to get my wallet stolen as soon as I get
Why?
There.
You're so tall.
Makes it easier.
No, it doesn't.
Pick me out.
People would not... Anyway, oh, and I also got you that really cool fanny pack.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, The Rock made the fanny pack cool.
Two phrases that don't really go together in a sentence.
Fanny packs?
Really cool fanny pack.
No, The Rock rocked the fanny pack. Remember that movie with the guy?
The guy, yeah.
The little guy, and then he's like the super, whatchamacallit, spy guy, and he had a fanny pack. Anyway,
spy guy.
Thank you for making the fanny pack cool, The Rock. I don't remember what your regular name is.
We should get him on the podcast.
We should. I think Stacy had Zomaya. I think Zomaya did a milk commercial or something with him. So there's some connection to The Rock somewhere. Was he one of the people that walked through Netflix? They didn't want to...
No.
No. Okay. Never mind then. You don't have any connections to him.
Even if he did, I wouldn't count that as a connection.
Yeah. You can wave at him from afar.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, we don't need The Rock to do a podcast to be able to say that it's good to continue working on your own merits.
Yeah.
And then you don't need to, you know, qualify yourself. But if you're nice to people, I think the niceness, what's the other saying? What goes around comes around.
Yeah.
It goes for positive and negative. So I think the niceness comes around, and, you know, good things happen to good people. And I do believe in fate, and sometimes things are just meant to be. Why are you always laughing at my sayings? So, yeah, just be nice to people, be nice to the environment. That's the lesson learned here, or lesson shared, not learned. Sharing, being nice to people, and when you can, you know, help people out, because that's, you know, good karma. Okay, we can have a another chat maybe tomorrow or on the way home. We'll see how noisy this podcast is. All right, ahui ho.
Bye.
That means see you soon in Hawaiian. Ahui ho. Okay, how do I pause this?